Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. Rick Pearson from the Tribune here with your weekly roundup of the world in politics, the Sunday Spin. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. And here joining me in the Allstate Showcase studio is Bob Kastner, a health economics professor at the University of Illinois, Chicago. And he's part of the University of Illinois' Institute of Government and Public Affairs. And Bob, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I thought this would be fairly timely because, one, we've got the president is coming back home to Chicago this evening. He's going to headline a Get Out the Vote rally for Pat Quinn at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night, which I know is prime time for politics. He has a fundraiser for the Democratic National Committee tomorrow. And frankly, that's the only out-of-state political travel that he's doing this week. Obviously, the Ebola issue is kind of raising public concern, and although he did play golf yesterday, I should point that out. But everybody, you know, deserves a little bit of break. But Bob did a kind of a study of the effect of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, on uninsured people. And a very interesting fact, and certainly Illinois took full advantage of expanded Medicaid eligibility rules. It's reimbursed by the federal government. Not all states did that, but Illinois showed a pretty significant drop in the number of uninsured residents.
Yeah, Illinois did well relative to the rest of the country. Illinois showed a 2.6 percentage point drop in the number of people who are uninsured. That's about 300,000 people. Compared to the rest of the nation, it's about 2.1%. And even in the surrounding states, we've done.
And I think that's a key as compared to the surrounding states.
Yeah, I mean, because we have some good counterpoints to Illinois. Indiana didn't expand Medicaid. Wisconsin did not expand Medicaid. Missouri did not expand Medicaid. So the Affordable Care Act had two components or two big objectives, one to reduce the uninsured, one to hold down health care costs. I think the uninsured was the thing that resonated with people most. So, and to do that, we had to expand Medicaid. That's a program for low-income people. And then we had the healthcare exchanges where employed people or near-poor people could get their health insurance. So by expanding Medicaid, Illinois seemed to have done a better job, where in Indiana and Wisconsin, the percentage of people without health insurance barely changed at all. And so that's a clear difference.
Bob, what is the relationship between insured, increasing the number of insured, to the issue of healthcare costs?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, of course, because when you don't have insurance, you don't go to the doctor as much, so you don't spend as much. And then when you get insurance, you spend more than you otherwise would. So giving people insurance actually increases how much they spend on health care. But a lot of people, although it's not quite clear, think that that's a good early investment, that will save
rather than having to pay for the
downstream costs.
That when people finally do go see, they're going to an emergency room, it's for a serious illness, and obviously the costs magnify.
Right. That's a very strong intuition and logic, where you get people timely care, early care, it helps prevent the later large bills that come through hospitalization. But there's an alternative also. It's, you know, I always use the example. I go to the doctor. I raise my arm. I say, I have a little ache in my arm. The doctor says, really? Maybe you need an X-ray. So I get the X-ray, and they says, oh, well, then you go to the orthopedist. And he says, well, you know, I could do arthroscopic surgery. So by going to the doctor more, sometimes you end up
driving more costs.
Yeah, so that's a double-edged sword about it. But I think I go to sleep better at night having my insurance, so I think everyone supports having more insured people. But it's not necessarily going to lead to lower costs. Lower costs are the other aspects of the Affordable Care Act, how we pay doctors and provide incentives.
Things like electronic record keeping and all those things that we've heard about for decades, but somehow it's always cutting edge.
Also not to pay doctors to do more or hospitals to do more, to pay doctors and hospitals to keep people healthy instead of just doing more things.
So. And more procedures that are more billable like billable hours kind
of thing. That's the real key. So
now, how do these exchanges work?
Yeah, the exchanges. So again, Illinois had the federal government operated Illinois' exchange.
Right.
So most of the states had the federal government operate their exchanges. So the exchanges are great places. You can go if you don't have health insurance and you're not poor enough to
qualify for Medicaid.
Then you could get health insurance on the exchanges. It's just like an online marketplace. You go online, you put in your name, your number, you register, and then they have a whole range of types of healthcare plans you could pick from more generous to less generous kind of benefits, more costly to less costly. But if you qualify, if you have income up to 400% of federal poverty level, which is I think about $60,000 for an individual, for families it goes up to like $80,000 or $90,000, you'll be eligible for a federal subsidy. So the federal government will help pay for you. So again, one of the interesting things about the study I did was Kentucky, which Mitch McConnell, the Republican's home state, who wasn't a great supporter of the Affordable Care Act. But they really invested a lot in their exchange. They had a state-run exchange, not a federal exchange.
Connect, I think, is the name of their...
Yeah, KY Connect. It's a play on KY Connect. So, but they were... Kentucky had the second largest decrease in uninsured in the country. And a lot of people point to the success of their state exchange. They engaged insurance brokers that sell all the insurance to firms to get people out. So it's a very important way to that the Affordable Care Act has helped decrease the uninsured. Illinois has done over, I think the latest estimate was about 200,000 people signed up in Illinois through the health insurance marketplace. So that's good.
But Kentucky was more aggressive in their outreach kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think people point to the brokers, the special role of these health insurance brokers that really reach out to small businesses, to firms, to salesmen. Illinois invested in what we call navigators to help people sign up who couldn't understand. But and it was somewhat successful. It also depends on the poverty rates of the two states. But I think Kentucky was quite aggressive in its outreach. Yes.
Well, I think it was very interesting the other day, of course, and we've been talking on the show a little bit about Mitch McConnell's reelection and Allison Lundergan Grimes, the Democrat, and they had their debate, and he was asked about, well, you keep saying you want to repeal the Affordable Care Act, but look at the success of Kentucky, and he said, well, it was a great website.
Yeah, that could be true. I mean, but a great website that, the great thing about the exchanges is before the exchanges, and I'm not, the institute and the university is nonpartisan and evidence-based.
Right.
But the one really important thing about the exchanges were before, if you didn't have health insurance through your employer and you went to an insurance company to buy insurance, they thought you were sick and they charged you a very high price.
You must have a problem.
Right. So it was really became prohibitively expensive to buy insurance for a lot of people, where on the exchange that doesn't happen.
No, because it becomes almost like a pool kind of system.
So, and that's the point. We have to get the young invincibles, the healthy in there, and to kind of subsidize the sicker people, the older people like myself. But that's an important part of the exchange, and that's why it's clearly the subsidies help too. Everybody likes a subsidy.
Bob Kastner from the University of Illinois Chicago, health economist, joining me here in the Showcase studio, the Allstate Showcase studio. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN. Welcome back to The Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Bob Kastner, who is an expert on health economics, economist professor at the University of Illinois Chicago, part of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois, which I lean on heavily for help. And we're talking about the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and what it's done as far as the uninsured. And, Bob, we were talking about how Illinois has somewhat outperformed by the numbers, our Midwest states, and is above, I guess, the national average as far as getting more uninsured people onto the rolls through primarily the expansion of Medicaid. But yet, while that may sound good, you still note there's still plenty of people who are uninsured out there.
Yeah, I mean, the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, has got off to a good start. But, if we think about before and after the Affordable Care Act, 4 out of every 5 people who were without insurance before are still without insurance. So it's only affected about 20% of the uninsured. So nationally, we used to have about 50 million people uninsured. It's about 40 million now.
Which is still a huge number.
Yeah, and in Illinois, we decreased the number of uninsured by about 300,000 or so, according to the latest numbers that I've used. But we still have a million people without insurance in Illinois. So there's still a lot of work to be done. The ACA is still early on. It's been early on forever, it seems.
Right. But it's a work in progress, yes, right?
It might be for a long time.
Yes. Well, and you know, we noted, you know, and obviously the launch of it was horrible. And you know, you would think in these days of smartphones and those kinds of things. But also, of these uninsured, you know, one of the big concerns was in order to kind of create this kind of universe of people that spreads risk throughout to make healthcare more affordable required the young people to sign on. Right. What are you finding with
that?
Well,
again, in Illinois, we found a bigger decrease in percentage terms of the an uninsured among the young people. So we've seen quite a bit of the young people signing up. And nationally, I think it was a surprise to some people that so many have signed up. But as you said, and without taking my course, that you know the spreading risk is really important. Again, going to the health insurance when people who are sick need insurance. People who are healthy have to subsidize it, and then we all rotate in getting sick once in a while. So, but it's really important. But it's been not a disaster as some people predicted, and quite good. I think it's still a work in progress because the penalties for signing up are so low.
Yeah, and I think it was $96 was the penalty, even if it was assessed. I'm not even sure that it was.
Right. I mean, it'll be on their tax returns this year, and there's all hardship cases. So once you open the hardship door, the door gets quite big sometimes. But the penalties will grow over time, and they're an important part of keeping that young group in there because they're not inclined to pay.
Right. Well, the young invincibles, right, as we say, that are going to live forever.
Right. I used to think of that myself as that.
Well, and you know, and truly, too, in some respects, you also have the fact with through the Affordable Care Act, with the younger people up to age 26 being able to still be on their parents' health insurance has also been kind of a factor to close the door somewhat in that
yeah crowd. No, a lot of research has shown that has kept a lot of the young people in. There's a real spike in the number of people in the 18 to 26 year old range that got health insurance, private health insurance, through their parents, and that was clearly a contributor to the increase in the number of insured people among the young. So
now, in going through the numbers too, you raised an interesting point off air about surprisingly enough, here in Illinois, in some respects, the numbers don't necessarily add up.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. It's not just specific to Illinois, but it's some evidence nationally. So I think
that was my Illinois cynicism, basically.
Yeah, but it is important. The Department of Health and Family Services here in Illinois has reported that almost 500,000 people have increased the enrollment in Medicaid. The Illinois Covered Health Insurance Exchange in the state reported about 200,000. So I can do the simple math. That's about 700,000 people that have gotten Medicaid or insurance through the exchange. But when I looked at the number of people who have actually gained insurance coverage from not having any,
it
was only about half that size. And so you start thinking, well, where did it come from? Well, a lot of people who got coverage through the exchange, some of them probably had private insurance already through their employer, but now, given that they can get a subsidy, they migrate to the exchange. Same with Medicaid. Some people have Medicaid is very low cost for the consumer, so they might migrate. And there's a lot of evidence on that from the previous expansions in Medicaid, that somewhere between 25 and 50% of all the new Medicaid enrollees came from privately insured. So I refer to it as a little shuffling of the deck, where although we've increased Medicaid rolls by 500,000 and the private insurance through the exchange by 200,000, it could be up to half of those people already were insured privately through employer or their spouse or other ways. So the net gain is much smaller in terms of how much we've reduced uninsured, but we pay for maybe one or two, for every two people we pay for, only one newly
Is a newly insured person, yeah. And in some respects, it's the taxpayers that are picking up the burden that would have been the private employer or whatever before.
Right, because, of course, the goal was to be efficient with our tax dollars, to reduce the number of uninsured at the least costly way. Now, I don't know if there's a better way to do it, but when we talk about this crowding out of private insurance or what I call the shuffling of the deck, it definitely increases the cost per person insured, newly insured. So, you know, that's a burden the taxpayers will have to bear. And even though in the state, the other point I would make is the federal government has provided a great deal for states to expand Medicaid, but it's still not free. Even the Department of Health and Family Services, the state's own estimates, spending on Medicaid is going to go up about $500 million this year. So we all know the budget situation, and $500 million is small in the relative terms. But
it's still a lot of money.
Because it's bigger than zero, and we don't have enough right now.
So. Well, and of course, we keep hearing caution from Washington, from the House Republicans, the issue of that subsidy to the states for the Affordable Care Act, and warning that this is not going to last that much longer.
Right,
and
I
so mean, that creates a
yeah,
budget
I mean,
concern.
So again, for example, the Affordable Care Act made the state of Illinois raise the payments to primary care doctors. And they said, we'll cover it for 2013-14. Illinois did that. 2015 rolls around. It's almost impossible to think that the state's going to cut the payments then, and they're going to be on the hook for them. That's just one example. But in a larger sense, the whole federal subsidy will erode over time, but may go away eventually. And that's the scary part.
A lot to be scared of in Illinois. Bob Kastner, thank you very much for joining me here on the Sunday Spin this morning. We'll be back with more right after this.